multiple friends that have had breast cancer, so I think it's very important.
Golfers gather in Haines to join in the fight against breast cancer. And Upper Lynn Canal residents will be spared the State Ferry Fairweather's latest mechanical issues. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and more up next. The 1% dedicated tax for tourism will not be on the Haines ballot, at least not the October ballot. The Haynesborough Assembly on Tuesday night did not advance an ordinance past its first hearing to let voters decide if they want to undesignate the borough tax for tourism. The item was first introduced following a citizen request to reconsider the tax. Haines resident Sally McGuire said at the time that she intended to apply for a petition for a voter initiative on the subject if the borough didn't address it in their regular meetings. She can still do that and bring the item to voters in a special election if enough signatures are generated, but it cannot be done in time for the regular election. A citizen request at Tuesday night's regular meeting asked the borough to turn back to building an economic development department. The borough assembly has also said they're interested in defining an economic development department. Assembly member Joanne Waterman, along with Lapp and Rossman, voted not to advance the ordinance.
My reaction was to the statement that if the assembly doesn't do something about it, that a petition would be circulated and that petition would ask that the entire tax is stricken. My feeling that the budgetary process wouldn't change that much, I guess, allowed me to let the voters decide about the dedication. So I guess I have a belief that there will be answers to questions about the future of economic development department. I trust in the borough's budgetary process that those departments, both the tourism development and economic development, will not be punished or abandoned.
At Tuesday's meeting, the assembly also approved Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures commercial tour permit for 2012, following public comment against the renewal. The assembly is also working to reinstate the Heliski Work Group and hopes to have them meeting again soon. The work group began last year with members of the community, borough, and heliski industry in an attempt to reach some agreement on how to manage heliskiing in the Chilkat Valley. The Alaska Marine Highway Fast Ferry Fairweather ended its Sitka sailing Wednesday due to problems with its automated engineering system. The ship left Juneau for Sitka in the morning, but turned around before entering Sergius Narrows, which can have strong currents. It returned to Juneau for repairs. The ferry's engine room is unstaffed, and the equipment is controlled and monitored via computer. Ferry Chief Mike Newsell says the problem is with that system, not the engines. He expects the Fairweather to be ready in time for its Thursday sailing to and from Sitka. Fairweather issues won't sound like news to residents in the Northern Lynn Canal, who experienced various Fairweather problems when it regularly sailed between Haines, Skagway, and Juneau. Alaska State Troopers have arrested a port protection man and say he'll face a murder charge over the death of another man in the small community on northern Prince of Wales Island. Troopers were contacted about a death in a houseboat near port protection on Sunday and arrived there early Monday morning. Troopers say they found 39-year-old Ronald L. O'Neill driving a skiff and towing a second skiff with a body inside. The victim is tentatively identified as 54-year-old Tracy G. Simpson, another Port Protection resident. Troopers say O'Neill was intoxicated when he was arrested. He was transported to Craig, and he's expected to be arraigned there this week on charges of murder in the second degree, driving under the influence, and tampering with evidence. The Alaska Bureau of Investigation Major Crimes Unit in Anchorage responded to Port Protection to conduct an investigation. The victim's body is on its way to the state medical examiner's office for confirmation of his identity and an autopsy. Alaska's Marine Highway plans some schedule changes next summer. The main Lynn Canal ship will reverse its route. The fast ferry will begin port calls in Angoon but have fewer stops in Petersburg. And Gustavus will double its sailings to and from Juneau. But most other routes will remain the same. That includes the new Bellingham to Whittier Express, which has proved to be popular. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
That's the sound of cars loading onto the fast ferry Fairweather for a sailing from Juneau to Sitka. The draft schedule for summer of 2012 will also have it heard at Angoon, a village about halfway between the two southeast cities. Ferry Chief Mike Newsell says a rebuilt dock will reinstate a connection lost when the slower ship Leconte switched to shorter trips several years ago.
So if folks were destined for Sitka to reach the hospital over there, they had to connect through Juneau, which was somewhat inconvenient. So we hope that'll meet the needs of the community better. And with the new dock and the ability to take the fast ferry in there, we're going to see how that works by running that service twice a week.
It won't be same-day service, as is now the case with the Leconte. The Fairweather will stop in Angoon on its way to Sitka on Thursdays, then make a port call on its way to Juneau on Saturdays. The proposed change will free up the Leconte. Newsell says the small ferry will continue serving other small northern southeast communities.
It will be working the Gustavus, Tenneke, and Hoonah route, and one night of the week it will actually overnight in Hoonah.
Next summer's schedule will double stops in Gustavus, the Marine Highway's newest destination. Service began last fall and increased this summer.
That has been a pretty popular destination, and with the Leconte having not to go to Angoon, it has a little more time available, and I think we can accommodate more frequent service into Gustavus.
The city near the mouth of Glacier Bay will see four weekly stops next summer. The Malaspina, which sails a Skagway-Haines-Juneau route, will also change its schedule. It will overnight and start the day in the capital city instead of its current home port of Skagway.
It's not running empty, but it's not spectacular. And the thought is that by reversing that route, it will be more appealing to folks heading up to Haines and Skagway for day trips and to connect to the road system. And the timing will be more convenient to get there at a reasonable hour to make border crossings.
The fast ferry will see changes beyond the Angoon stop. Newsell says it's scheduled to drop one of its two weekly Juneau to Petersburg sailings.
The ridership on the Fairweather coming out of Petersburg has not been that high, so we're going to throttle that back to one time per week.
Instead, the fast ferry will sail 6 days a week to Sitka, one more day than this summer. Most of the rest of the schedule remains unchanged. That includes a long-distance sailing that began this summer. That's a twice-monthly Kennecott round trip from Bellingham, Washington, to Whittier, the nearest ferry port to Anchorage, and on to Kodiak and Homer. It also stops in Ketchikan, Juneau, and Yakutat.
The Bellingham to Whittier portion of that run is consistently running pretty full, not passenger full, because we hardly ever fill our ships with walk-on passengers, but vehicle deck space pretty well sold out on that run, both northbound and southbound.
That route allows the ferry Tustamina to make two monthly sailings to the system's furthest west ports. The Marine Highway System will hold a meeting on the proposed schedule Monday, August 22nd in Ketchikan. It will be teleconferenced statewide, with comments on the southeast schedule in the morning and south central and southwest in the afternoon. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
Golfers are helping in the fight against breast cancer with a Rally for the Cure event in Haines this weekend.
It's Saturday at 9 a.m.
Kathy Party Jones is with the Valley of the Eagles Golf Course, located off the Haines Highway, right at the edge of town. They're working with the Search Clinic to put on the annual golf event.
It's a four-person scramble. If they don't have a team, we will get them on a team.
Valley of the Eagles has hosted this fundraiser for 5 years now and has donated thousands of dollars to Susan G. Komen for the Cure work. Kathy says it's a worthy event.
My sister is a breast cancer survivor, so it's real personal to me. Plus, I have multiple friends that have had breast cancer, so I think it's very important.
The cost for golfing in the fundraiser is $40. Non-golfers can also participate as caddies or walkers. That fee is $25 and includes a magazine subscription.
Participants get a little goodie bag from Rally for a Cure, along with early detection research facts and things. They also get a wonderful Go Green Rally for the Cure bag for groceries. We encourage everyone to come out. Wear pink if they can. I do have pink t-shirts for sale out here for $15.
A five-person team from Skagway is planning to play in the event. Every year at the end of the fundraiser, the golf course sends a check for something like $900 to $1,300 to the nonprofit that works to raise money for breast cancer treatment research.
It's a real fun thing, and we enjoy working with Search with this, with Wise Women, and we look forward to seeing everyone. And pray for good weather, but even if it's raining, we have a ball out here.
In the United States, a woman has a 1 in 8 chance of developing breast cancer in her lifetime. Rally for the Cure organizes golf, tennis, and social events, and has generated over $60 million for Susan G. Komen since 1996. Reporting for KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell. Special thanks to Joe Vicknicki for his help with this report.